today's program brought to you by Union Beer, purveyors of world-class ales and lagers. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carbone from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, February 17th. We're doing a special New York City Beer Week preview featuring some of the brewers of the Smash Beers, which some of the New York City Brewers Guild guys have made. So we got a great show. We got Big Alice, Bitter and Esters, Rockaway, and Kuzette in the house. And thanks to our sponsor, United Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. If you got any questions for today, you can tweet us at @beer_sessions. Maggie will be out there tweeting live. All right, so this is a special show, guys. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Everybody introduce yourselves, because this is pretty cool. Beer Week's coming up next week, and you guys made some Smash Beers. So, Kyle, how you doing, man?
I'm awesome, Jimmy. It's great.
I'm so pumped to be here with you guys.
That's me too. It's an exciting time. We're all in our final preparations for Beer Week, and I think we're all really excited, looking forward.
So the big news this year is the Smash Beer that a number of the New York City brewers made. You got Chris Kuzme with the new label Kuzette.
How you doing, Jimmy?
And Marcus from Rockaway.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
And our homebrew extraordinaire, you got John from Bitter and Esters.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for having me, man.
So one thing that came of last year's Beer Week from our New York City's Brewer's Choice event, there's a Grow NYC Regional Grain Project, and they've been working upstate with different farmers to grow grains, and there's other guys working with hop makers. But last year, we had about 20 breweries make a beer with a percentage of New York State grain. But this year, you guys, the New York City Brewers Guild with Kelly Taylor, you guys jumped ahead and you created a beer with all New York ingredients. Why don't you guys each talk about that process and the beers that you guys made? Chris, you want to start?
I do, because the way it kind of formulated itself is we decided to do this project, but we didn't know what grains and what malts we were actually going to use. And as a guild, collectively, we threw out what options were out there, and we all voted on three malts and three hops that we found out were available in New York State, available to us. And so it's kind of we collectively decided on our favorite to use, and then have all been free to make our own beers under those parameters. And those three malts are New York State Two Row, Danko Rye, and a Vienna malt. And then the hops were Cascade, Chinook, and Willamette. However, there was a shortage of both of those in certain cases, so not all of the beers actually use all three. But as best we could, we all chimed in on that.
And Kyle, what's your take on this? Because this is pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're a New York State farm brewery anyway, so, we use New York State malts and hops in all of our beers, but it was really, kind of cool to see everybody, come together in a way to support, the New York State farmers. And, the collaboration behind it all, and we all got together to, like Chris said, to vote on all of the, the ingredients. And even when they were getting delivered, like Chris said, there were some shortages and some stuff, got mixed up and went to the wrong place. I know Rockaway and Big Alice, went back and forth with both some malts and some hops to try to, exchange and make sure we had, enough for everybody to make what we needed.
So what was the plan? You have to each use some of the three malts and some of the three hops?
Well, the challenge was given to each brewery to design a different beer. Everybody designed their own beer from the same three hops and the same three
Malts.
Exclusive. Thank you. And I think everybody tried to use all of those ingredients. We certainly used all three of each ingredient in our beer. We actually decided to do sort of a California common ale, which is uses a lager yeast, which is fermented at higher temperatures. So it takes a very long time to produce. And I brought today one of our other California commons we did right before this beer, just give you an idea of how it tastes, the dryness of that yeast strain. However, in this other canister, I have the unfinished smash brew, which still has yet to finish lagering and get carbonated, so we can taste that later.
So these will be available, I know, at New York City's Brewer's Choice. I think there's, 10 New York City breweries that made a smash beer. I know it's you guys, Rockaway, Big House, Cousette, pretty sure Six Point, Bronx, Kelso, Heartland, Bridge and Tunnel, and Transmitter, and probably Finback.
I believe Finback did.
Yeah. So that's quite a nice lineup.
Yeah, and it's going to be really awesome to see the diversity of the beers. I think everybody's trying to be different, and given the nature of what we chose, it kind of lends itself to being, you know, a certain beer. And I think we all tried to kind of do something off the beaten path.
And then John, you as a home brewer, you guys are also going to be at. We have a couple home group tables at the New York City Brewers Choice.
Jimmy, you
guys went out and made a New York ingredient beer too.
Is this the first time that you had home brewers at Brewers Choice?
I think so. We may have had one or two. I mean, we've had like a Brooklyn Brew Shop do a demo or something like that. But I don't think we've ever had exclusively a homebrew group.
We have like 10 homebrewers, which is really awesome. We've all been talking back and forth about getting ingredients and stuff. We weren't part of the guild thing as far as what ingredients we were using and stuff. So we didn't follow any rules at all. The one rule that I followed was all New York State malt. I ended up having to use Yakima hops. But we did use New York State malt. It was kind of cool to talk to all these great homebrewers who all are really into this project. And we all made sure that if I had extra grain, they could have some of that. Because the New York malts are a little hard to get as homebrewers. You can get them, but they're a little bit more difficult. So we used all New York State craft malt in our beer. We made a pale ale called Hey, I'm Walking Here, which is it's a true New York pale ale. And
what movie was that from?
It was from Midnight Cowboy, right. I believe, right? I'm Walking Here.
Dedicated to the tourists?
And I use Amarillo Cascade and Horizon Hops, and I used all New York water, which was really good. I wanted to make sure that I stuck with the New York theme. But I'm very excited. I'm really honored, actually, to be part of the Brewer's Choice. It's a great company. I'm really excited.
And when you say New York water, you mean New York profile? Like you didn't use any salts?
No, I was kidding. I mean, I used tap water.
But I always use salts.
I adjust my mash with calcium just to bring the mash down, the pH down a little bit.
That's interesting. For the Big Alice Smash, we actually made a decision to not treat the water in any way. We went with straight New York City tap water with no additives at all. You know, we talked about it and made that as a conscious decision to go with that to really try to, you know, highlight the New York State
stuff. Kyle, what did you guys make for your smash beer?
So we actually branched out and did something really different for us, and we did an IPA.
that is different for
exotic.
You.
Yeah, you know,
by off the beaten path, off your normal beaten.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, everybody.
You had that carrot oat. It was like the oat and carrot beer last year.
Yeah. We did a carrot and oat IPA. I mean, we've for those of you who are familiar with our beer, you know, we've done some really kind of crazy experimental stuff, but it's always very malt forward. We don't. I mean, because of the sheer volume of malts we used, it was difficult for us to make anything that was hop forward. So, in this case, we. We dialed it back and went with a more traditional Imperial IPA and which, like I said, is not uncommon for everybody else, but it's rare for for an IPA to be coming out of Big Alice.
what did you make, Marcus, at Rockaway?
We did a California Common style, which I said before. It's amazing how prominent the rye is. We used a very small amount of the rye malt, and it really, really came forward in the beer. Which will be really interesting. I think the really cool thing about this project, having 10 breweries all doing different beers from the same ingredients, is that it really kind of showcases the fact that craft beer is growing in New York City and everybody's doing something different. So they're not people copying each other's styles or beers. Everybody seems to have a distinctly different style they're going for, a different flavor palette, and everybody's doing really interesting stuff. Right now there's 3 breweries in Long Island City, Transmitter, Big Alice, and Rockaway Brewing, for instance. You can come and taste beers on a weekend and have a completely different palate on each brewery. So it's really exciting time for craft beer in general. I think that this project really shows that, you know, we're all doing really different things, and it's a really cool time for beer in New York.
Chris, for you and Mary as Cousette, what did you make for beer?
Yes, as Cousette Libations, we brewed at Greenpoint Beer Works, and we brewed what we're calling an American Grisette. So we're calling it the Cousette Grisette. And a Grisette is a small saison And so this is a very light sessionable saison. It's 4.3%, but it really showcases the New York State hops. Like, we dry hopped it a lot with the New York State Cascade, which was kind of a different Cascade. It wasn't as grapefruity as other Cascades. So this is more like lemon and orangey kind of thing. Has some melon in the back, and that's dancing with the Belle Saison yeast that we threw in there. And it's a really fun beer. And in the interest of making it through Craft Beer Week or New York City Beer Week, it's low ABV, so we can pull them back.
Hey, Chris, what hop farm did you use for those?
Peterson. So we sourced the Cascade and Willamette from Peterson. I don't know where the Chinook came because by the time I saw the thing. Where?
Bluebell.
So yeah. I didn't see where. I didn't.
They're all
I'm not
New
familiar
State.
With the Chinook.
Yes.
Yeah. Peterson with a D, not a T. But what was interesting, they didn't give you alpha acids on it, so we didn't really kind of couldn't fully project where our IBUs would end up.
That's part of what makes it fun.
Thankfully for the Grisette or for the Le Saison, like, I didn't want too many IBUs, and I'm going more further.
You know, on last week's show, I mean, you guys are timing it right to the wire, right? I mean, some of you are just going to keg today or tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah.
We're transferring today.
And I was, last week on the show, we had Transmitter on, and he already had his beer ready. He called it New York One. And it was pretty great because there was something about it. There was a lot of malt. You could taste it. It tasted grainy. And then it finished with a little sour. But I think these are probably going to be some of the best beers that we've had in New York yet. That's my expectation.
Yeah, we had to wait to the very last minute to keg ours because it's the California common yeast takes a long time to clean up in the lagering process. So we just kegged it yesterday.
All right. I got something pouring here, Jimmy. It's what we call New York Nugget. It's one of our store recipes. And the reason why it's a New York Nugget is because we get hops from Farm to Pint out on Long Island, and they have a beautiful nugget that they come out with every year. This is not made with their hops because we sell out instantly whenever we get them, but this recipe is written for their nugget hops.
That's
and
good.
So we had some on tap at the store, and so I brought some in. I really like this recipe. I think it's nice. It's the hops are easy to come by. The local hops, but they do sell out quickly, and they don't pelletize generally, so they're harder to store because they're at least in my store they're harder to store.
John, are you doing anything for Beer Week at Bitter and Esther's? Because tell us about the National Pie Day. You always do some cool events. You're a homebrew shop and you do classes, but you always have great events.
The Pie Day was just because of Charlie Papazian. When he came to the store, he mentioned that his birthday was National Pie Day. So we decided to do a beer and pie festival on his birthday, and then all the money is going to two different charities. One is for breast cancer, and the other one is for a school in Colorado that Charlie asked us to do for it. So that was a blast. Yeah, we love to do that sort of thing. We had 70 people in the store, 30 pies, 30 people made pies. what we're doing for New York Beer Week is we're doing this. We're going to be doing the Brewer's Choice, and we're also doing Brunity. And Brunity is really an exciting thing that's happening on the 22nd at the Bell House. Our people are, we have a beer swap that we do every first Wednesday of every month where people bring in homebrew and swap it, and they've formed a club. And now 10 of those people in that club, we call them the swap team, formed another club called
that's
the Brunity.
Next
Brunity,
Sunday, February 22nd.
Yeah. They're all going to be pouring at Brunity. And Chris and I are going to be playing in a band, apparently,
right,
at Brunity as well.
Right.
So that should be pretty hardcore.
The banded Brusicians.
I wanted to call this the Crabtree effect. I thought that would be good.
So, Chris, I remember you guys started talking about the Brunity like 2 years ago.
Yeah, the first event we did, actually, you kind of helped set it into motion. That South Street Seaport was kind of the first time we attempted to get all the club invite, have an all-inclusive club thing for a benefit and a cause and keep the South Street Seaport Museum alive. And we had a decent amount of musicians, brewers, our home brewers at that. And, you know, it was neat to have
musicians.
Yeah, musicians. And then the second thing time we had something like this happen was for the New York City's Homebrewers Guild 25th anniversary. And it was like, okay, you know, there's so many clubs now compared to when I started homebrewing in New York City. That, you know, we all should, all our individual clubs are really important, but collectively we can do some really great things. And so the idea is to give back to our community and celebrate the art of Zimmergy and homebrewing and the burgeoning scene. So we just really want to keep this going on an annual basis.
There's so many great things happening for New York City Beer Week, and it's such a great scene now. But we'll be back in a few minutes and talk more about it on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
No more faces.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Jimmy's number 43. We're getting ready for New York City Beer Week. We've got a great lineup here. We've got Big Alice, Bitter and Esters, Rockaway, and Kuzet. I don't even know their names anymore. I just know who they are.
You can call me Bitter and Esters. I'm
but
fine with that.
They made some special beers for Beer Week, the Smash Beer we've been talking about, all New York State malt and hops, which is pretty great. And there's some events coming up. Our New York City Brewer's Choice is back February 24th. But to kick it off on opening night, it's a Friday night, February 20th. I love that the Brewers Guild decided that pushing people to go to the top beer bars and have a toast at 7 o'clock on Friday, February 20th. Chris, I know you were part of that.
I was. So we were trying to make the night be all completely unique kegs in New York City, but it was just kind of an impossible feat, to be honest, and doesn't make a lot of sense. So we've expanded that to being rare, special, and unique kegs that we're featuring at participating bars. And at 7 o'clock, all of them will be tapped, and that we'll have a toast, hopefully, at each individual place. But yes, driving traffic, and also by having a list of these beers, allowing the consumer or the attendees to kind of design their own pub crawls based around the beers they would like to try out of these special beers.
So you think at 7 o'clock this Friday, February 20th, there'll be all these cowbells ringing and beer bars around town.
More cowbell.
It should be the more cowbell toast.
I'm excited about it. I mean, I know we're going to have, I mean, we've got so many of the Smash beers coming in. I'm not even sure which one we're going to tap. I mean, we're supposed to be tapping Secret Engine Rocky Point beers, but we have Transmitter. You know, we'll have a lot of stuff coming on that night. And then the opening party is on Saturday, February 21st. That's also another – how many brewers are coming to that? That's at the Altman Building. That's a great location, like 18th Street near Chelsea.
Yeah, 135 18th Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. And that's going to be from noon to 5, but noon to 1 is VIP hour. And I think those tickets have been sold out. We're going to have 50 different brewers. And that's going to be an interesting thing, too, because what we're really trying to do with all of this is kind of celebrate the New York City beer scene. And so we're kind of laying out the breweries tied with a geographic location, not necessarily in their own geographic location, but at least having some bar representation also at the festival. So the floor map will be kind of like that of the Great American Beer Festival, where you have the country divided into sections. And so, you know, we'll have uptown, downtown, east, downtown, west, Brooklyn, Bronx, and there'll be a floor map dealing with all
Queens.
Of that. And kind of in Queens. Yes, yeah, Queens. Hey, sorry. Queens, Bronx, Staten Island, you know. And you know, kind of emulating what we hope to be like beer trails.
So you're going
to
have casks there too as well?
And there will be a full-on cask section of roughly 25 casks. And you can find out more information about
that. Is Alex Hall involved with the casks by any
chance? Not on this one. I'm sure he will be there, but it's kind of being in conjunction with Get Real Presents. So Patrick Doniger is helping set up that side of things.
That's great, man. So there's so many good things going on, and we'll talk more about some of the smaller events too at different bars and things. So let's go back to the Smash Beer. So you guys collectively chose three malts and three hops, and at least 10 breweries made beer with a similar profile, but each unique. So Marcus, for you guys at Rockaway, how did you get the ingredients? I mean, was it like one big drop, or did you each get your own orders of the ingredients? Because it sounds complicated.
It was a little complicated. Normally what we do for our grains and hops, we just contact one big supplier and they drop it off on a pallet and it's done. But this was a little more complicated. It had to do with going down to Kelly's Brewery downtown Brooklyn and getting our grains and hops. And I think there was a little confusion, some mix-ups between different ones. I think the rye, which is a very predominant flavor in our beer, there was a couple of different styles. I think it was roasted in two different ways. So it should be interesting to see which brewers ended up with the darker roasted rye and which the lighter should really change the style and flavor of the beer for sure, because it's such a strong ingredient.
And Chris, for you and Mary for Kuzet, what did you make again?
We made a light we're calling it an American grisette, so it's basically a table saison. And most grisettes we like to put below 4%, which is why we're calling it an American grisette. So we're at 4.3, and we're also very hoppy on it. And we did about 15% rye, and the rest was all US 2 row, because they were out of the Vienna at the time, which I think for the grisette is going to be really nice.
That's nice.
Well, it is really nice.
Hey, we should try some Big Alice. What did you bring, Kyle?
So I brought our Queen's Honey Brown, which we'll actually be serving alongside our Smash. So I didn't have our Smash ready to bring today, so I brought its companion, Actually, here, you guys pour. Yeah, I can't talk and pour at the same time.
I can't talk and count money.
Yeah, well.
I don't think I can count money.
I don't think I was going to say.
I need but some money to count it.
This honey, though, is this is a Queens rooftop honey?
Yeah, so you know, I wanted to find something else that featured local ingredients in a way that is still unique to this event, but kind of unique upon itself. So the brown is actually a style I hadn't had or made in it's been a number of years. This beer was actually inspired by a trip I took with my wife. And
where?
In Madison, Wisconsin. We hit five different breweries, spent the night, and every one of them made a really good brown. I'm like, it was like an old friend. I'm like, wow, welcome back. It was really refreshing. And I had 15 pounds of this Queens Rooftop Honey from Tom Wilk at Wilk Apiary. And, I had another recipe planned for it, but I came back from that trip, and I was brewing when I got back, and I changed my mind.
John, what's the profile of this? Because this is exactly what I like. It's a nice brown ale.
First of all, the color is amazing. It was the first hand. It was really like a ruby brown almost, like a red brown. Really nice. The profile is of, a nut brown, right? Like a North England?
Yeah, it's...
But with that honey, the honey is... When you use honey in brewing, the better quality of the honey, the better the beer is going to be. It's really noticeable in brewing. So if you use just supermarket honey, you notice. And I noticed that the honey flavor coming out of this is delicious. It's great.
And, yeah, I wish I knew more about local honey. And we've gotten a couple of different honeys from Wilk. And, they differ greatly in color. And, so I brought the honey that's actually in this beer. It's over by Jimmy there. And
it's great, unfiltered.
It's
twigs
beautiful.
And leaves in there.
And, yeah, I don't know if there's twigs and leaves
from
in there.
From a Brooklyn rooftop?
No, Queens. Five different Queens rooftops. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's called Queens Honey Brown, and it's not just a clever name. It actually has Queens honey in it. So it's... in addition to a percentage of New York State hops and malts, it's literally New York State and very specifically Queens honey.
Kyle, so I didn't know you were from Wisconsin. I never knew that.
I am. I'm a transplant. Been in New York about 7 years now.
So you say because you're from Wisconsin, you like beer?
Wisconsin is obviously
reading your bio here.
It's a huge beer state. It's not, or at least it wasn't, a big craft beer state. But I'll tell you what, they've really come a long way. I get back pretty frequently, and every time I go back, I feel like their local section.
It's like you and Shane Welch from Six Point. You're the only two guys in New York from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah,
I know we're the only two. But,
my business partner Douglas is from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin.
Nice, yeah. Beaver Dam, yeah.
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
teaching me how to speak like that.
What are some of the breweries in Wisconsin that you used to drink?
Well, I tell the story. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Pleasantville, where everything's in black and white until they start having sex, and then everything turns to color. That's beer for me. I grew up drinking a lot of really nasty beers, and I don't mean to disparage those beers, but they were your traditional American lagers.
I always forget Milwaukee's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so there's a lot of beer comes out of Milwaukee, and I think I drank my share of it, but my friend was a home brewer, and I went to his house, and we actually had the families together, and he busted out a bottle of his home brew, and I took a drink of it, and that's when beer became colorful to me, and my wife, I think, saw my reaction to that, and the next holiday happened to be Father's Day, and I got my first home brew kit. That was back in, I think, 1998, so it's been a while.
No, it's great. I mean, I love that, we had so many people in this room who were home brewers, and now they kind of, you're pro brewers, and it shows. I think they said when the Bronx just opened their brewery in the Bronx, it's the 20th brewery. Do you know the numbers on how many breweries are in New York City right now?
Actually, brewing in New York City, I think you're right. It's 20 or 21 at this point. I don't know the number of for Bronx.
I remember we started all this stuff, Good Beer Seal 2009, there were like three breweries plus like Chelsea, maybe four, So that's pretty amazing. But just cheers to you guys for doing it. And Marcus, with you at Rockaways, talked about having sex and going from black and white to color, it sounds like a summer in the Rockaways. So,
yeah,
or something like where you hang out. So,
yeah, I mean, Rockaways, it's funny. We make our beer in Long Island City, and that's where our brewery is. That's where our tap room is. And we really love the Rockaways. My partner and I were home brewers for 5 years, brewing beer out in Rockaways in the summertime. at our houses. We have little bungalows by the beach. And, you know, we just became kind of maniacal about it. Started buying refrigerators and freezers and, you know, CO2 compression systems. And at some point, I just sort of looked at it and said, we have to start a company because this is getting out of hand. So we can at least write off the taxes of all those purchases. And also, we were making good beer. At that time, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, there weren't, like, any good ESBs on the market, like local ESBs, and it just seemed like, wow, there's a real lack. I mean, now there's lots of great beers in New York, but 5 years ago there weren't that many local beers to really drink.
You know, I think you quoted me in one of your beers because I was at Pine Box Rock Shop there tonight, and they have your the Rockaway Gold Stout on, and it said something that it was my favorite beer or something.
Yeah, well, that was all right. That was the first year we made it. Was like 3 years ago, I think. And you had it up at Jimmy's 43, and you were quoted in some article saying, this is my favorite beer of 2012 or something.
That was pretty cool. If you haven't been, it's right around the corner from Roberta's route here in Bushwick, Pine Box Rock Shop. I don't know the name of the streets out here, but it's like right off of Bogart. Right, do you know it? Anyways, they actually have a great lineup of beers, and I'm going to digress. But for me, New York City Beer Week is also not just the new breweries that are here in New York and making great beers and now stepping up with, like, New York State malt and hop beers, but it's also the places, like, we have this Good Brew Seal group because awards are given out to bars that are dedicated to craft beer. But they also do things like they keep their lines clean. And we're going to do a show in March where we're actually going to be focusing on, you know, cleaning lines and the things about delivering your beer. So it's good. And they're one place that the lines are clean. They always have a really great lineup of beers. So Pine Box Rock Shop, Heather and Jeff, you know,
on
cheers
Grattan,
to them.
Grattan Street.
Oh, yeah. A-T-T-A. That's it. So
yeah, cleaning lines is a huge deal. Sometimes I go into big beer places and I take like a Lagunitas, you know, something you know that's going to be exactly the way you think it's going to be, and it just tastes like shit.
And that's where we're at now. I mean, one thing about a beer, because a lot of places are going to get attention for having certain beers on, but if they're not cleaning their lines or they don't have like a regular kind of beer program, it kind of like takes the fun out of it, you know?
Yeah, sir. Definitely, sir. I mean, the challenge for us as small beer producers, we know exactly how it tastes when we keg it, and then you go to the bars and restaurants where you're selling the beer, and then sometimes it tastes different, and then you just think, uh-oh, I've got to go talk to somebody about this. You know, it's really important.
This is really the next step for things like Brewers Guild and Craft Beer Week is doing more education, because a lot of times, even at my place, we'll have a new bartender, and they'll be like, oh, this beer is foamy. It's like, well, you know what? It might be foamier than some of the more commercial or mainstream beers you're used to pouring, but sometimes it's going to be a little foamy, and you just have to know there's differences, you know, in fresh local beer, too. And that's kind of an awareness thing that I don't think anybody's really training people right now to talk about that.
We're trying
to.
So we
got a long way to go.
We're seeing more and more people interested in beer education because, I mean, you can have beer flowing out of everywhere, and if you don't know what it is you're drinking, that's fine. You can still like it, but the more you know about what you're drinking and what you're doing, the better the experience is going to be. And the same with the bars. We're finding that, too, that the bars want a little bit more education. And I would say the first thing is to clean the damn lines.
And this is why I really support Ray Daniels' project, the Cicerone program. Mm-hmm. You know, even for people who aren't in the service industry, it's a great thing to get to know, because if you're on the other side of the bar, and by that I mean if you're on the customer side of the bar and you have the information, sometimes it takes you pinging the bartenders to –
I think for like around $69 online, you can go to Cicerone.
Yeah.
I think it's Cicerone.com and take the server level.
Might be org, but.
Yeah, it's a server level course. And Sam Merritt used to teach it at Jimmy's number 43. So I took it several years ago. I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I want to talk about a couple of things we have organized for Beer Week. In Long Island City, we have a pretty exciting thing. It's going to be a tap takeover at Alewife on Wednesday, February 25th. It's going to be Transmitter, Rockaway, and Big Alice. We're all going to bring beers there, so it should be a really good party over there. We also have a cheese and beer tasting on the 26th of February at Rockaway Brewing at our place in our brewery. You can get tickets at buyhandculinary.com. And then we'll be also doing a tasting at Malt and Mold February 26th and a spaghetti dinner on the 27th at our place again.
Spaghetti dinner, I love that.
At our brewery upstairs.
When's the pancake breakfast?
We're working on that for
you know,
Sunday.
Who's doing a pancake breakfast for Beer Week? That's one thing. I think there's a lot of great events. What's your event, Big
I
Adam?
Have all kinds of New York State maple syrup if everybody wants to have a pancake breakfast.
Yes.
All right. That was purchased for this.
We're getting warmed up for
down.
New York City Beer Week. We got New York City Brewers Choice coming up next week. Come out and try the Smash beers and other brewers made beers with New York State grain. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, Beer Week is coming up on Friday, February 20th. We're going to kick it off at some of the top beer bars in the city. Go in 7 o'clock. Cowbells will be ringing, and you can try some of the most unusual and rare beers in the whole world, many of them made in New York City. So we've got some of the Smash Beer Makers here. We've got some great New York City breweries, Big Alice, Rockaway, and Kuzet, along with our homebrew shop extraordinaire, Bitter and Esther. So, guys, you're talking about the New York ingredients and the Smash Beer. You gotta seek out at least 10 breweries in New York City made these special state malt and state hop beers. And the short list is right now, we know it's Big Alice, Kelso, Heartland, Rockaway, Kuzet, Six Point, Bronx, Bridge and Tunnel, Transmitter, and Finback. And there's probably a couple others out there. So you guys got together and agreed on three malts and three hops. And you coordinated, but each one's making a different beer. But tell me some of the other arguments you guys had, because a committee is meant to argue.
That's right.
So what did you want? You have malt and hops. But Nico Kremidis, who's a great writer, Brooklyn Magazine, he said, well, what about New York yeasts? And then what about other things like syrups and stuff?
Well, I know Transmitter has a New York yeast, and I want some of it anyway. But, those guys are really, you know, dialed in on their yeasts over there and make some great beers with it. So I think that's kind of their secret ingredient. And, you know, our secret ingredient is our secret ingredients in that we, you know, often, you know, just kind of, yeah, they're not a secret. But, you know, they're a secret to us sometimes before we're up until the day we brew. But, yeah, so early on in the planning stages for Smash, you know, I wanted to, you know, add another ingredient, and you know, I was going to make sure it was, you know, also 100% New York State, and so I actually my assistant brewer John Keelty, he ran all over. I don't know how many different farmers markets he went to, but to try to track down. We wanted fags. Apparently, last year was a really bad year for fags in New York State, so we couldn't find any of those.
Yeah, the last winter, the freeze kind of killed a lot of fig
plants.
Yeah,
it was rough. So we ended up landing on maple syrup, or syrup, I guess, depending if I'm from Wisconsin or not. Apparently, different people say that different ways. But so we went and we bought, I don't know, like a ridiculous amount. I mean, probably a couple $100 worth of New York State maple syrup. And the following week, the Brewers Guild had a meeting, and it was put to a vote, and we collectively voted.
When you guys have a meeting, do all the breweries send representatives?
They are all invited to send a representative at these meetings, absolutely. But not all of them can make it. You know, finding an amicable time for 20 breweries is a hard thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, we were on the short end of that vote, where the vote was to only to limit it to those three malts, three hops, and whatever yeast you wanted to use. So I have a bunch of maple syrup, and I love the idea of a pancake breakfast. But
and I was, you know, I was leaning on the side of I was leaning on the side of like wanting to allow adjuncts as long as they were only New York State. You know, if anything, it kind of speaks to the creativeness and the ingenuity of craft brewers today, and to the fun that we have as brewers. But at the same time, it takes away from that same point of what you can do with a limited amount of ingredients, and ultimately that one over. And you know, I could have gone either way, but I think I appreciate where we ended up.
I agree with you, because for me so far, the ones I've tried, like I tried Transmitter, The malt just tastes really good. Like, it just tastes like the kind of beer I want to drink. Wow, it's like nice grain base, some hops.
The spirit of the project is really to feature the malts and hops, and I think the decision was the right decision. Even though it wasn't my original intention, I do. You'll like where we ended up, and I do have a plan to pull out a 5 gallons and put it into a pin and do a cask, and I'm going to carbonate using the maple syrup.
Love maple syrup, man, just so you know. You want to drop some off with me. So, I can live on that stuff.
So it will still be used in the smash beer, but in a limited release and probably out of the brewery.
Jumping ahead to malt, just because there's the great beer minds in this room, one of the new books, it's the Brewing Elements series. You might know more about it than me. There's like a water series. And
yeast
this is
and hops.
Malt, a practical guide from Field to Brewhouse by John Mallett, who's the big brewer from Bell's. And I got the book. We're trying to get him in on the show. But the point is, it seemed relevant. I've been carrying this book around all week. I'm trying to get all the Smash Brewers to sign it during Beer Week. But it's pretty heavy stuff. I mean, talking about grains and malts, I mean, there's a little history of malt. But who wants to jump in and give me a primer on malt? Because I feel like everyone's talking about New York State has to grow grains, and then there has to be malt facilities. But everyone seems to know about hops, but I don't think people really get malt.
Well, malting is basically a germination process that happens to the seed of the barley. And what that does is it allows there's a starch matrix that's inside the hull of the grain that will open up, that the plant would actually use while growing. And it also creates enzymes, which are a type of protein that will break these starches down to their sugar components. So by malting the grain, by basically just germinating it, you make it available for the brewer to be able to mash the grain and convert the starches to sugar. That's a very short way of saying it, and malting is a bit of an art. So malting is difficult,
but the grain matters too.
Yeah, you don't grow malt. You don't grow grain. You malt the grain. Is a process to become what we call
malt.
But
in terms of farmers, for any local beer, local, you know, whether it's North Carolina or somewhere else in New York State, the grains do matter too, right?
Yes.
To start with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just how well they're grown to begin with really matters as how well it's going to be malted. I think, and I might be wrong about this, but I think that the maltsters are where we are in demand more than the actual grain being grown. We were dealing with New York State craft malt, and with this farm-to-pint law, you have to eventually use like 90% of local grains and hops. So the malt is really the problem as far as getting enough.
The New York Farm Brewery License.
Right.
So right now it's at 20%.
Pint.
You got, I think, a couple more years. You have those
so
licenses. You have 20%.
Then it goes to 65, I think, in 2018.
Yeah.
Before ultimately getting to 90 or 95.
Do you see that being feasible?
Well, I don't know. I think the most important thing, you know, I've talked to people who are like, you know what, I don't want to get that license because I don't think we'll be able to get the 65% or the 95%. But I also believe that the legislature is not going to leave farm breweries out, you know, hanging them out to dry, where if it's not possible that we're just going to shut us down. So I think if, you know, and every year, you know, the state's, you know, getting, you know, more land, you know, developed to growing the grains. And I think this last year, 3 new maltsters opened.
So what, there's one called Pioneer. Have you used them? And there's New York Craft Malts.
Yeah, that's who we're using.
And then everyone is Massachusetts. There's Valley Malt.
Valley Malt, yeah. Right. We use Valley Malt and New York Craft Malt.
I think there's more too.
But the cool thing about the fact that we're doing this local malt event, especially hops, are a little bit easier. If you have some acreage, you can grow hops really well in New York State. And so
you know, there are a number of hop farms that are using just very little land. They grow vertically. They don't, right. It's not horizontal.
Having the wherewithal and the resources to get them tested for off acid seems to be hard at all.
Yeah, and also packaging is a little difficult for them.
And there is more pelletizing occurring now, too. So it's, you commented on it earlier, it's getting better. And
we're getting there. So this smash beer is like, it's a preview of things that come that we can expect.
It's
a lot
an awareness
more
too. That's
right. Absolutely.
And then Marcus, you poured us, this is a preview of your smash beer.
Yeah, it tastes not quite. You can taste this. This is right out of the fermenter. We didn't have the kegs available for this show, but I did just grab right out of the fermenter just a taste of it, because it's really interesting how the actual, the speaking of malt, it just, you know, really in this, the rye really just really comes out really strong. And you know, we didn't over hop this beer. It was a really well balanced, subtle beer, so you really taste the grain. So definitely looking at that book, just saying malt, like this beer definitely has.
And I don't know if you guys noticed it, but when the New York State malts come in, you know, we keep ours in a closed room and a dry storage. And so when I open that door and I walk in, the New York State malts just they smell different. They smell better. It's hard to explain or quantify, but
it's also a smaller production, right? You get a smaller production, whereas like you know the big grain suppliers, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of hectares of land being cultivated for barley cultivation.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
these are really small producers, just like the small breweries. I think it's really exciting to partner with small grain producers and hop producers as we do small batch
cheers
beers.
Cheers, New York State.
Yeah.
So, Mark, just talk me through your beer one more time. So, this came out of the fermenter.
Yeah, so this came out of the fermenter.
It tastes a little
malt. It's dead flat. It has a little bit, you know, it doesn't have a very strong hop characteristic. It's meant to be more like a California common, which would be more like a kind of crisp a lager. It's sort of a strange style because it's an ale yeast fermented at higher temperatures. So it has a very specific flavor. So it's sort of in between, almost like an ale and a lager. The closest beer you might know would be a steam beer. Anchor Steam makes a beer like this.
It's delicious, by the way, even right out of the fermenter.
Yeah, I agree. It's
I can't
excellent.
Wait for it to be carbonated.
And awesome. How many kegs are you making of this beer?
So this, we did a 5-barrel, so it's going to be just 10 kegs in New York City for a beer week, and it'll probably be gone by the end
so
of the week.
So it's just going to be at some of the events?
Yeah, we'll bring it to a few of the events. We'll have it at our tasting room in Long Island City at our brewery, and it'll be gone in a week.
At New York City's Brewer's Choice.
Yeah.
So you guys also recently, I know Big Alice has expanded a little bit. All the bios are out of date, just so you know, guys.
Yeah, we
realized
like that.
You guys were the 1/3-barrel Big Alice. Now you're like, what are you guys now?
We're on a 5-barrel system now.
And then Rockaway,
that's
you guys.
That's the same. We're at 5-barrel as well. Yeah. So we're still, I think people consider us kind of nano brewing still. If you look at the size of other people's systems, you know, 30, 40, 50 barrel systems, like, this is really small production.
We used to be Pico. Now we're Nano.
that's what's really exciting about what's going on in New York City craft beer is you're going to taste beers that you only can get here for a week or two or 3 weeks, and then it is gone.
I remember a couple years ago when the craft it was New York Craft Beer Week was transitioning to the New York City Brewers Guild. They talked to like Ben Hudson and Steve Handy at Brooklyn Brewery, and people were starting to say, yeah, we should have the brewers do like a special beer, like someone said, an Abbey beer. So I'm really proud of you guys that you did this because it's getting me excited about the beers you guys can make, you know?
We had talked for a long time about, you know, doing a giant collaboration, but, you know, it's awesome that we have too many brewers to make that a practical idea, and instead doing a project like this kind of is a lot more fun and a lot more diverse and can get more places by having that celebration.
And I love the fact that he brought the homebrewers into it because they're all very excited. And a lot of the homebrewers are going to be professional brewers eventually. So a lot of the ones that are pouring at Brewer's Choice are process.
You have a table. Like so Bitter Nesters has a table. The Knights of Brooklyn, led by Andrew Say Thomas, has homebrewers. And Brooklyn Homebrew Shop also is sending a table. So
that's awesome. You know, it brings us all together. Because we're as homebrewers, we are still brewers.
And also to tie it in, we always have New City Brewer's Choice. We have great food, so we have a raw bar. We have bakers. We have cheese guys. We have some chefs doing special dishes. We also bring in an out of state keynote speaker. Last year we had Jeff O'Neill from Peekskill. Mike Hinckley from Green Flash is coming in because I felt that this should be like a national event and people should be coming here from all over the country. So Green Flash is going to be in town because they're doing tastings with their Alpine. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I'll give that pitch, too. I think on the weekend, Green Flash and Alpine are doing a number of tastings together. I know they're going to be at Blind Tiger one day. So this is going to be a great beer week. I think it's really come together. Really looking forward to it. And any closing words or events besides that pancake? Who wants to host a pancake breakfast?
Maybe we will.
Yeah, with all that maple syrup.
Pie.
Well, we're right down the street from Big Alice. Maybe we can do it upstairs at our event space. I do a really mean ricotta pancake, by the way.
You do the pancake.
Oh, wait, Chris, Kuzette. So as Kuzette now, you're making at Greenpoint Beer Works.
For the first one. So the concept behind the thing is to kind of celebrate the brewers that we love in New York City. Try and gypsy brew within New York City if we can. We'll do a lot of things at Greenpoint Beer Works, but we'd also like to do collaborations,
gypsies.
And we'll be gypsies.
So when you make at Greenpoint Beer Works, what size system are you working on?
For this first batch, 15 barrels, and you know we're going to continue with 15
That's
barrels.
Huge.
At the time. It's be fun. Yeah, it's three times what he's doing over there.
I have a half barrel system.
So who wants to host a pancake breakfast for Beer Week with all that, 200 pounds of honey?
It's a lot.
$200.
Yeah,
maple syrup.
I've there's no pancake breakfast officially on the roster, but there will be soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'd be remiss not to say that we are having a closing brunch for New York City Beer Week at Brooklyn Bowl on Sunday, March 1st. That's going to kind of tie everything up, and tickets are like $40, and the food will be provided by Blue Ribbon. It'll be a beer brunch. Yeah, it's going to be banging. And because it's at Brooklyn Bowl, there'll be a brass band, and we're going to serve New York City beers. It's going to be a lot of fun and a nice wind down.
Then we can exhale.
And then we can, yeah, exactly.
Well, then just to talk about the nice camaraderie in this room, I mean, you guys have been brewing together and working together now in New York City Brewers Guild and New York City Beer Week. Chris had a funny comment. He said, he was talking about a Friday that we had, and he said Sober Friday. So, I just want to make a point. So when you said Sober Friday, that was ironic, right?
Irony. Yeah, I don't remember any Sober Fridays.
Really. But we have a lot of fun together, and I'll tell you
they
what.
Start out that way,
right?
Keep listening, and I would say, you know, if you're listening live or you know later this week, there's so much. It's NewYorkCityBeerWeek.com,
NewYorkCityBrewersGuild.com.
NYCBeerWeek.com. Yeah, check
or
that out.
Or NYCBG.com.
And NYCBrewersChoice.com, which is the best event of the week because of you guys stepping up. And in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Kyle, Marcus, John, and Chris for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.